It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm not a marijuana guy.
So long as I'm the president, my measure of success is victory.
Men were men back then, I'll tell you. You wanted to do something private with another man, it wasn't gay. No. It was just two men celebrating each other's strength.
Amen, brother. 877-365-3636. That's the number for the Mike O'Mara Show. We invite you to visit WJFK.com. Click on my oversized face.
Click on Mike.
Check out our world-renowned podcasts.
They're fine.
That seem to be setting sales records every day, even though they're free.
It's amazing.
That's true. They're going to figure out a way to make money off them, though.
Of course they will. Join us all for the best Cinco de Mayo party. That's coming up this Saturday from 4:30 to 6:30. All of us, the entire gang,
will be there.
We'll be at L'Oreal Plaza Restaurant. On 18th Street Northwest.
In ponchos.
Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
I'll wear a serape.
Visit staythirstymyfriends.com and staythirstymyfriends.com.
.com.
That's not what we're supposed to say. All right, we're going to talk a little politics right here. Let's talk to this guy. I love the name, first of all. And I heard something about him that I'm going to ask him right out of the chute. Vaughn Ververs, are you there?
I sure am, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Vaughn Ververs from CBSNews.com. Vaughn, Beth Ann McBride, our wonderful executive producer, was telling me that that we were actually on your bucket list to be on this show, and that is a very sad bucket, my friend.
Well, you know, I'm a long-time listener, first-time guest, thrilled to be on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you.
I can tell you that I've done a lot of things. I've done TV interviews. I've done the McLaughlin Group, the O'Reilly Factor.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, that all pales in comparison to being on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, I can imagine. And you know what? You're a good liar, and that means you're going to do very, very well. First of all, the name. I mean, I just, when I saw this came across the desk. I saw your name, Vaughn Ververs. Cool. My God, what a name that is. What kind of name is Vaughn Ververs?
Well, it's Dutch, with some roots in the Flemish area of Europe, where not too far away, Rob, from Germany. So we've got some of that influence.
He does
in there.
Listen.
He does listen. He does listen.
I'm honored, Vaughn.
But it's also been a great career tool for me. I mean, nobody forgets the name Vaughn Ververs, so it's memorable.
Now, you've done it. You've done a lot of different things in the business, and now you're working as the political director for CBSNews.com. Do I have your bio right there? That's what you're doing right now.
That's correct.
Now, being the political, you got to be loving what's going on. I mean, this is an exciting time to be involved in all things politics. Everybody's talking about it on a daily basis.
Well, you know, we never thought it would get this far coming into this year. You know, we've been covering this race for over a year now. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton announced their candidacies last January of 2007. So we've been just going and going and going. But you're right, it just gets more and more interesting every day.
That leads me to a question that I was going to ask you later on in the interview here. But with the length of the season, Vaughn, do you think Americans are losing interest? I mean, it has been a long time. I kind of get the vibe people might be losing a little interest in this thing.
You know, I do think that there is some fatigue that sets in, particularly when, you know, we sort of get into these cycles where, you know, all we're talking about is Reverend Wright or Hillary Clinton and Bosnia and sniper fire. You know, when we sort of get into these feeding frenzies, I do think the fatigue sets in. But I do have to say that overall, if you look at it from the beginning to the end, there's not been this much excitement among voters for an election in a very long time. In state after state, after state, on the Democratic side in particular, we see record turnout, record registration. I mean, these candidates have really sparked something, and, you know, it's sort of serious times in the country right now, so people are paying attention.
Well, you got a couple of guys on the show, Buzz and I. We've been kind of Obama guys for quite some time. He got us pretty jacked up early on in the campaign season. Rob, of course, continues to vote for Lyndon LaRouche, even when he's not on the ballot.
One day, Mike, one day.
And you do, you know, you see the Jeremiah write stories each and every day to the point, and I hate conspiracy theories, I really do, but I have felt more manipulated by the mass media than I have in a long time. And at one point I was listening to someone, I don't remember who it was saying, you know, why would Jeremiah Wright be picking this time to make his speeches and to start saying more controversial things? And I just jotted down Jeremiah Wright conspiracy and a question mark, because it almost seems to me this guy coming out and giving these speeches and saying incendiary things might be playing into the hands of the opposition so totally that I smell a little bit of a rat. Do you hear that in the political circles, Vaughn?
Well, you do hear a little bit of that, and you know it's sort of funny because you hear it, you hear those conspiracy theories on both sides. Some people think it's maybe the Republicans who are up to this, and some people think maybe, boy, Hillary Clinton sure is benefiting from it, so maybe she's sort of behind a little of this.
Right.
But no, look, here's the reality of the situation is this: that you know, Hillary Clinton is a known figure who most Americans have an opinion of one way or the other. A lot of people don't like her. A lot of people do like her very much. And
some people think she's got sexy legs.
I'll stay away from that one.
Yeah, just remember where you are, Vaughn. We have our standards to live up to.
But, you know, there's a known quantity about her. Now along comes Barack Obama, who, you know, a lot of people, even in the media who've been covering this campaign for a very long time, you know, still don't have a grasp on who this guy is. And he's very likely to be the Democratic nominee. And he's very, you know, he's got a very good shot at becoming the president. So I think there's sort of who is this person? And the Jeremiah Wright story fits into that exploration to a great degree. And the thing is like you say, he keeps coming out and saying these things, and Obama keeps responding, and we've got to, you know, people are going to cover that.
Well, it's the whole thing about being on message as well. I mean, when you've got this distraction in any kind of political campaign, you've got the guys that can't stay on message, the handlers, the spinmeisters, the candidates themselves. They can't focus on, you know, that message that they want to get out. Do your sources tell you that this is going to be significant, if not in the North Carolina primary, in the Indiana primary that's coming up?
I think that's the concern among the Obama people for sure, and I think that they saw something in their internal polls or from their anecdotal evidence that they're gathering on the campaign trail that this is something that's hurting him. You know, there's another thing that's at play here that I think gets missed a lot, which is that it's not just the voters in Indiana and North Carolina and Kentucky and West Virginia, which have upcoming primaries. It's these super delegates in the Democratic Party. They will make the ultimate decision. And Obama,
I want to ask you about those too.
Obama cannot get to the nomination without the support of a significant number of those superdelegates, and they can change their mind at any time, no matter who they endorse when, up to the very day that they cast their vote at
the convention. Do you think these superdelegates, you think they get into a power position and hold out as long as they can, that they, you know, I would think that if I'm a superdelegate and I'm not particularly wowed by either one of the candidates, or I'm not strongly affiliated with either one of the candidates, I might kind of enjoy my position of power and hold on to it as long as I can.
Oh, I think there's a great deal of that going on. I think there's a lot of superdelegates who are very much enjoying it. There's a couple other things that come into play here, and most importantly probably is their own political futures. You know, most of these superdelegates have some type of elected office, whether they're congressmen, and all Democratic congressmen are superdelegates, all Democratic senators, all Democratic governors. They're all thinking about their own political futures, and those who are up for election this year are thinking, boy, who's going to help me in my election when it comes to my state?
What about these superdelegates that I hear about that are like 11 years old? I mean, I'm exaggerating, but
very young.
I mean,
get
these the 20, 21 year olds or something. I mean,
yeah,
the young kids. Where do they come from?
Well, there are a few of those, and they've gotten a lot of attention. These are people who are elected to represent young Democrats at the national level or at their state parties. There's almost 900 total superdelegates, so you've got quite a broad range, and that's what they were designed for. They were really designed to sort of get a lot of different constituencies and different people involved in the Democratic process. I think when they wrote these rules and when they wrote these primary rules, you know, over the last 30 years, I'm not sure they ever envisioned us getting to this point, but the rule of thumb is that these superdelegates are going to elect them, and Barack Obama is not only trying to talk to voters in Indiana and North Carolina, he's trying to tell these superdelegates a couple things. He's trying to tell them, A, that he's tough enough to stand up and handle something like this, and that he can deal with this kind of a situation, and B, that it's not going to hurt his electability in the general election. And those superdelegates are watching that very carefully.
I didn't even think about this, but you've got the the Jeremiah Wright and Hillary with the bullets flying when she's going into Bosnia, and you don't hear about the the significant issues, so much so that I really don't know. In your opinion, when you're talking about John McCain, you're talking about Hillary or Barack Obama, Who has the best, you know, at least campaign spiel regarding the economy, which I think everybody really should be caring about?
Well, you know, I think that's part of why we're in this position now, is that this race has become sort of a battle of personalities. And one of the reasons for that is these candidates are not very far apart on most of the issues of the day. We're just today and yesterday, we've sort of seen a split between Obama and Clinton on the gas tax and whether there should be a moratorium throughout the summer. Clinton favors it. Obama opposes that, and saying that it wouldn't do any good. But that's the kind of policy split that you have between these two candidates on most of the major issues. You know, they're going to get rid of some of the Bush tax cuts. They're going to give tax cuts to lower Americans. Their differences come sort of at the margin. So when you're talking about the issues, you know, there's not a lot there to really debate between these two. And they're such big personalities that's where we get into.
Let me ask you about John McCain, if I could, Vaughn. He wants to, according to his statements, continue basically the policies of the Bush administration, both in the unpopular war in Iraq and with the unpopular economic approach that's been taken. If that's the case, why does McCain have so much support?
Well, I'm not sure he has that much support.
Well, he's 40% or better.
Yeah, sure, in the polls, and any Republican's going to be in that position. A lot of people actually think that John McCain should be doing a little bit better right now in the national polls. When you look at the sort of bitterness that has developed within the Democratic Party, it's sort of a good opportunity. People think, well, boy, if he's not getting up there above 50, 55%, you know, once the nominee of the Democratic Party comes out, he's going to have a hard time maintaining what he does have.
He liked to shoot his age.
And that's a lot of speculation.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. John McCain cannot get away from the fact that he's a Republican. He is doing some things that he's trying to show he's not exactly like George Bush. You know, he took a tour last week of some of the poorer regions of the country and talked to audiences that probably hadn't seen a Republican presidential candidate maybe in their lifetime.
You think dyeing the hair you think it's too late for that at this stage of the time? I mean, it worked for Reagan. But he doesn't have a lot of hair, but he's got enough where he could dye it.
Red.
Probably a little bit too late for that kind tactic. But, look, John McCain knows that age is going to be a huge issue for him in this campaign. That's why he brings his 90-some-year-old mother with him up out on the campaign trail.
To prove that he's not that old.
That's right. And that he has a chance.
Right? He ought to really bring her on the campaign trail. So this is my 61-year-old mother that's coming out here with me.
Is she still alive?
She's still hanging in there, Rob.
Well, that's good because it makes it easier to get her around.
Vaughn, do you think that the fighting between the Democrats is really significant in the general election? I think I'm of the school of thought that thinks, you know, once this thing plays out, that it's a whole new ball game. Then they start taking on the Republican. The Republican starts taking pot shots at the Democrat, and everybody forgets about the primaries.
Well, I do think that's likely to happen to a large extent. I also think that there probably will be some lasting damage, and the question is, will this thing be over by June, or will we go all the way to the convention? And if it's over by June, you've got the summer, you've got some time to heal those wounds, to get everybody back on the same page. If it's not over until the convention, somebody's supporters are going to be walking out of Denver very unhappy with only about a month and a half to go before the election, and that's not a good scenario for Democrats.
So they got to wrap this thing up. Does Howard Dean at the helm hurt the Democratic Party? I think he does.
I think Howard Dean doesn't have a lot of power to change the rules of the game at this point. What they did, they made some mistakes along the way, and Howard Dean has some culpability in that. What they did,
and he ought to close his mouth when he's doing a TV interview, when he's waiting, when he's sitting there with the IFB in his ear, and he's always got his mouth open, and that looks dumb.
Well, that's rule number one. He should have learned that when he was running for president.
You've done those. I mean, I'm sure you've done the talking head thing where you're sitting there, and I mean, the camera's on you. Well, he should have learned that. And every time I see Howard Dean, it looks like he's getting ready to eat a popsicle.
Well, maybe he is. Well, he doesn't have a lot else to do. You know, he's waiting around for somebody to get the nomination because there's very little that he can do with the campaign that he needs to work with until one of them emerges. And that's what he's waiting for. But look, when it came to Michigan and Florida, these two states who they're fighting over and probably will be fighting over all the way to Denver, what the Democrats did was totally different than what the Republicans did. Republicans have had the same situation, and they punished their delegates in those states by saying, okay, we're stripping you of half your delegates. The Democrats gave them the death penalty and said, we're taking all of them away from you. And I think if the Democrats would have done what the Republicans did, we wouldn't even be fighting over this, and this wouldn't be an issue. So I think, but look, nobody really thought that this was going to go into June or maybe even beyond. So hindsight's always 20/20.
Well, Obama has not been able to close the deal, and that's the fact. And I like Obama, and I like what he has to say, and I like the fact that he makes speeches that make me feel good and make me feel nostalgic from the good old days. But honest to God, politically, and whoever his handlers are, the people in the Obama camp, they're not closing this deal. And he is as much to blame for that as anything else. You know, on the other side, you got Bubba going out there and stumping for Hillary. Mm-hmm. And this is another one. Would you like another one of my whacked out conspiracy theories about Hillary Clinton?
Sure.
All right. Here you go, Vaughn. We're all men here. We can talk like men.
Yeah.
Men.
We're all men here. Here's the deal. You become president of the United States. You know, you've got it's the top of the mountain. You've achieved what every little boy, you know, is told to dream about. Son, someday you could be president. And all of a sudden you win that. Just a few years later, your wife wants the same damn job. I tell you, I don't even know whether you think Bubba might be out there, you know, speaking off the cuff and just pretending he's supporting her when in truth, nothing would make me happier than to have her lose.
A triple reverse smokescreen.
Absolutely.
There has been a lot of psychoanalysis done on the Clintons over the years.
There should be.
That certainly has been something that's been talked and written about during the course of this campaign, that maybe there's something deep down inside Bill Clinton that wants to ruin this for his wife.
Well, you got to look at Bill Clinton to start with. First of all, I do believe Bill Clinton is, you know, outside of the whole libido thing, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant political mind, and he knows how to capture a crowd. I've seen him speak in person in a small group, and there's nothing like seeing the guy. He captures the whole room.
So I saw him at a restaurant. I mean, he does it in a restaurant.
He has an aura.
Right. Yeah. Didn't he hold your kid or something like that?
He was photographed with my daughter. He was fantastic.
And he gives off that whole Bill Clinton vibe. Uh-huh. So I think when you're analyzing the Clintons, you got to wonder about this. Now, there's another school of thought that might say he'd love her to get in power because he's got the bully pulpit again.
Well, I think that both of those have a tiny bit of merit, but I think overriding all anything is that Bill Clinton sees anybody but Hillary getting the nomination as a total diss of him and his presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does not want the Democratic Party to turn away from what he feels he achieved in 8 years as president.
Right.
He would take that, I think, as a personal, you know, diss from the Democratic Party. And I think that's part of what makes him angry is that Barack Obama has said things that don't really reflect well upon his presidency, and he doesn't like that. And, you know, whatever he may feel sort of underneath it all, the most important thing to him is achieving his legacy and keeping his legacy, and Hillary winning would certainly be a big part of that.
All right, I got a few quick questions for you, and then we're going to wrap this up with Vaughn Ververs. Vaughn is with CBSNews.com. It's a really nice website if you want to get a real handle on everything that's going on politically. Is there a chance that Obama will change his style since everybody's kind of gunning for him right now with the whole Reverend Wright thing? Do you see him getting perhaps a little edgier as this thing goes further along?
You know, I don't think so. I think he's tried to change a couple times. You know, he tried before Pennsylvania to get a little tougher with Hillary Clinton. That seemed to really backfire. Voters seemed to recoil. I mean, this is a guy whose whole appeal is, I'm a uniter. I'm going to change the way politics as usual is done. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to bring people together. And, you know, when he gets too tough, it kind of undercuts that. And I don't think you'll see him going away from it. But you may see him become a little bit more short with people who criticize him.
What about John McCain as far as a running mate? You hear that everybody talks, you know, he's had this nomination sewn up for so long. What kind of running mate does John McCain need in the general election?
Well, I think he needs somebody who's not affiliated with Washington or the Bush administration in any direct way at all.
David Hasselhoff. Just a thought.
Perfect.
Not a sermon.
If he can keep it together, maybe. but, you know, he needs a governor. I think he needs somebody who's obviously younger, but not young enough, not like a Dan Quayle, somebody that people would feel comfortable with becoming president in case something happened to
who
him.
Who wouldn't be younger?
He's well, got a good chance.
It's not on the short list.
And is there any way that you see that Hillary gets this nomination? Really? I want to know that from a pundit like yourself. Is there any chance she gets this nomination?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Really?
I think it's a very, very slim chance. But the role that these superdelegates play, you know, Hillary Clinton could end the primary process behind in delegates that have been won in these contests, behind in the popular vote, and then she could just say, well, you know what, I'm not going to end my campaign. We'll see what happens at the convention. Mm-hmm. Not maybe wage something. And if more of this Reverend Wright stuff or something like it or anything happened in the interim, she'd be there kind of to be the savior of the party. I think that's a very slim to hang your hat on. And unless she blows him out in the remaining contest, she's not going to win it outright. So there's a chance, but it's an uphill one at best.
Okay, and who wins North Carolina? We know Barack wins North Carolina. Who wins Indiana?
You know what? Today, I think you'd have to give it to Hillary Clinton narrowly.
Ooh, it's going to keep going.
I think that Obama has a chance, though, to turn sort of what happened this week into something. And if he can manage to get some momentum through the week, beat her handily in North Carolina and win in Indiana, I think she would be hard-pressed to keep going.
I like you, man. You give the answers, everyone. Bing, bang, boom. Did you enjoy your time on the show, Vaughn?
I loved it.
Good. You're a good guy, and we hope you come on the show again sometime real soon. And, of course, lots more of this to come. The situation is playing out every day.
Be happy to, guys, anytime.
Thanks, you. Vaughn. Vaughn Ververs, he's from CBS.com, CBSNews.com. Mm-hmm. Everything political you want to know, go to him. I love the name. And he's from where Matt Lauer was earlier today.
Dutch.
But that's NBC.
I'd love to have him in studio.
I'd like to get the guy there. He's we're on his bucket list.
That's really weird. Does that make you feel a little creepy?
No, what makes me creepy is this patriotic music we're playing.
You like that? Okay. Now is it more comfy?
Makes me proud.
Buzz, what's on your bucket list? Because, I mean, you know, obviously we have to go first.
It's a shallow bucket, to be
well,
sure.
Well, you know, I mean, we're putting bucket lists
more
together.
More of a pail?
No, the odds are Buzz will outlive both you and I. You know that's true.
Oh, he'll be our pallbearer.
Do you ever think about your bucket list at all?
I think about places I'd like to travel, sure. Mm-hmm. Like to go to the Mediterranean. Like to go to, we were talking about Amsterdam earlier.
What about, you know, who would you like to be with if you could be with any beautiful woman?
Oh, my God. I've got a book in my briefcase. Let me get that out.
It's bound in leather.
That's a long list.
It is a long list. You ready for the audio vault?
I am. You want to take a look at it?
Let's open that up right now. Here it is. I have, let me see, what cut number one. I have not paid a lot of attention to the whole Clemens thing, but I guess she came out today. Buzz was mentioning in his earlier news, mm-hmm. and she corroborated the story that's been in the newspaper.
Is it McReady or McReady?
It's McNamee's.
But I'm the country singer.
McReady, but the guy that the trainer is McNamee, and this is his lawyer on the Clemens affair with McReady. McNamee on McReady.
Yeah, this is McNamee's lawyer.
His lawyer. Okay, what does the lawyer
and
say?
The
Anything good?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a tremendous feather in McNamee's cap because it paints Clemens to be unreliable.
Yeah, he's a liar.
Ah.
And here it comes. Right now.
Well, if the case isn't dismissed, it's certainly going to be central to the defense because defamation puts the plaintiff, and in this case, Roger Clemens, character in issue.
That's all I need to hear with that. Yeah. That's a lawyer speaking. What else do we have, Rob?
You didn't see much of the press conference today. This was my favorite moment with our commander-in-chief talking to a reporter named April.
Very good.
Isolationism and protectionism. April.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, looking good in yellow.
Thank you.
Yella.
How's the baby?
She's good.
Danielle.
Thank you. You're trying to get me off, but... No.
Whoa!
Okay.
Is it true you named her Georgia?
Wait, hold on. Play that again.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Excuse me. I would like to hear that. Our president, what's he up to? But he's saying Texas yellow. Yeah. Yella.
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 Thank you.
How's the baby?
She's good.
Danielle.
Thank you. You're trying to get me off, but... No. It's okay.
Hey, Rob, I'm sorry. I just heard the words, and I don't think you can decipher them any other way.
No, I don't think so either. I'm surprised it escaped me. Do you want to hear him talking about liberty yielding peace
of course.
And stammering?
Is it good?
Well, I think you'll hear him totally comfortable with his message.
Okay.
This lad right here asked me about Congress's intransigence on Colombia. I think it reflects the fact that there is a strong protectionist sentiment in the United States. People, good people, believe it's not in our interest to be opening up markets. You might remember the CAFTA trade vote. We won by one vote.
What?
And it was a tough vote to get. And now the speaker pulled a unique maneuver to stop the Colombia from moving forward. And it It's a sign of that the country is losing its confidence to a certain extent.
And your confidence on this particular subject as well.
He sounds more like Elvis every day.
He does sound like Elvis.
He's always heard
I got
about,
sick in the hospital.
Our good friend Patton Oswalt did a stand-up thing about Bush, and it applies also when he's talking about foreign countries. Right. You know, get him in the United States if he's talking about something. He's doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. You get him outside where a conflict is happening somewhere internationally, especially if it's new. He's out of his depth. Also, get him talking about, excuse me, war and all those things.
Right. Don Verners is from the Flemish area.
It'll be wonderful. You get him talking about something lovey-dovey and warm and fuzzy, and he's uncomfortable with it. He always has been.
He likes talking about Yella. Now, we talked off the air about you weren't real big on House last night.
No, but let's hear House. I love the way that this is done.
This is very well done.
House in 60 seconds, if you
this
like
that. This guy wasn't pandering. He wasn't vanilla nice. He was nice without any aspiration, personal gain. I'm thinking genetic defect.
And how long has the patient been suffering?
11 years.
So what are you going to do?
To screw up Wilson's relationships.
Joint custody.
Of Wilson?
I will give you a ruling if you do the reviews on your team.
He's stroking.
Not a moment too soon.
He doesn't think it's syphilis, but he's going to go run those tests anyway.
You're late.
15 minutes.
16 minutes. My 16 minutes.
So keep him an extra 16 minutes.
It's neurosyphilis. The tests were positive.
If there's something wrong with this guy, it means there's something wrong with House. He has syphilis.
If you terminate the agreement, it's not going to bring peace in the Middle East.
I'm not terminating the agreement. I'm amending the agreement.
Mocking me saves lives. Our hospital will probably build you a statue one day.
My husband's having a heart attack. Can somebody help me, please?
I've heard of remote tribes that actually practice acts of kindness, or the Chagas caused encephalitis.
What you have, it's treatable. You're going to live.
I got a call from Amber today. It says there's been a violation of your contract. You've been seeing Wilson on her time.
She breached confidentiality. You can let it slide, officer. Or even.
Yes, you are. You're both losing fingers.
I'd like to hear House in 30 seconds.
Last night.
In 60 seconds sucked as much as the whole House I watched last night.
You know, you had said earlier, before we went on the air today, that you didn't like last night's House episode.
Thought it lacked a little plausibility.
I thought it was fine until I just heard it wrapped up in 60 seconds, and now I'm with you.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah.
And the relationship that House has with his buddy and his buddy's new girlfriend.
Yeah, the bitch.
Or is it his wife? Did he marry her? Not married yet.
They might be living together.
All right, Bethann, can you come to the studio? Hold on the audio voice. For a second,
can I play one more cut?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is my favorite of the day. This is a news coverage of a 7-year-old kid who stole a car in Florida and brought on a chase.
What cut number is this?
This is cut number six.
Cut number six.
You get to hear from the caregiver of the child and the kid, and the password is parenting.
My keys was on the counter, so I went to get the screws, and I looked, and I said, where's my keys?
Yeah.
So that quick, I looked, I didn't see him. So then I went to the door, and I looked. I said, oh, my God, my truck's gone. And immediately I scream. I said, call the police. How do you think I feel? I'm standing here and I could see the sirens, police trucks up and down the street. I knew it was at him. You know, I just thought, oh my God, I'm getting ready to bury my grandson.
Why did you take the car?
Because I wanted to do it. My friend was in the car with me.
Where did you take it?
I took it on a high-speed chase.
How did you know how to drive?
Because I see my grandma do it. Other people do it. He knows the seriousness of taking a car and how it could kill somebody or kill him. You know, he's nobody's fool.
Well, what do you think about the people whose cars you hit?
I say nothing about them.
Through our charges, grand theft auto, and the reason why we have those charges is to get him into the system. Obviously, this is unusual behavior for a 7-year-old, and we want to get him evaluated so he can get whatever treatment might be recommended or needed.
Someone needs a timeout.
It could have had much worse, you know, occurrence. It could have been injuries or deaths.
7 years old.
Yeah, but he looked bigger. I saw this on TV.
I never
this
let
kid
Julia
looked 15.
Drive. Really? I never let Julia drive.
Pretty good with grand theft auto coming out today, too.
And I thought it was a good relatable.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
What do you think of the people you heard? I don't think nothing about it.
That was better than House.
Much better. Much more entertaining.
I T-vote House, and I don't have to watch it.
Thank you. Is there a particular reason we have this gentleman on hold?
I think it's Matt.
Is there a reason, though? Has someone found him?
I didn't answer it. I think that's... Ask Matt.
Where in the world is Matt?
All right, here's your clue.
Yes.
We remember Matt the Jew. Today he's hiding from you. But if you rise to the top, this game you will stop, and you'll be bursting with pride when you do. Mm-hmm. I almost hesitate to go to this phone line, but...
Where in the world is Matt?
There it is. I chopped it off.
That's nice production elements.
Hello, Matt.
Hello there, boys.
How are you?
I'm well. We have a winner.
We have a winner.
All right.
Yay. They found found you? Did they find you because of the clue that we gave with Burston?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Say hello to Aaron, the listener.
Yes, put her on the line, please. You get away from the phone. Put the winner on.
Go all the way down.
Step away from the phone.
Fall down the steps.
Please.
Hello, Aaron?
Hey, guys. It's A-A-R-O-N, not E-R-I-N.
Oh, like Aaron spelling. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Now, have you been trying to find Matt all day long?
No, I was actually driving home from work listening to the show, and I've been listening at work, but when you guys said Burston, I thought Ellen Burston, Exorcist Steps. So I went to American University, so I know where they are.
See? Hey. It's that American University education
good
that pays
job,
off.
Good job, Aaron.
Now, are you both standing at the top of the Exorcist stairs? Now, was he at the top of the stairs or the bottom of the stairs?
At the top of the stairs.
Good. Top of the stairs.
That's where he's supposed to be.
Doing what he was told. That's very good.
How long have you been with him?
Oh, only about 5 minutes.
How has it been?
Have you grown to hate him like we normally did after 5 minutes?
I find him surprisingly pleasant.
Wow. As Matt mentioned before,
you
now,
keep him then.
Now we can say, well, thank you very much. Aaron, you've won $100 American dollars.
Yeah.
Matt will have
the
forms for you,
good
and
you're
the big winner. And way to go with that Burston clue. We thought that might be too old a clue,
mm-hmm.
And kudos to Rob for writing a good clue. I like
thank
that.
Thank you.
Aaron, well, thank you so much.
Aaron, put old Matt back on the phone.
Should we reveal the accidental clue that Matt gave earlier that
that's
we had
I
to dump
to,
out?
That's exactly what I want to talk to him about.
Good.
Matt?
I'm here.
Now, Matt, here's the deal. This didn't go on the air because Rob hit the delay. But we get in the second time we have you on the air, and we want to keep this a secret so that you know it's a little difficult to find you. You say, I'm down. The female crew team just went by. And where else do you see crew jocks but like in Georgetown on
exactly.
the Potomac River?
We have a river, Matt. We
One.
Have a river.
I'm not the most loved member of the show here, so guys.
You're not the most what the phone dropped out. Shocker.
Learned. It was a dumb joke.
Learned. Okay.
Me not so smart.
Yes, it was.
We didn't hear that, but well.
I apologize.
But now do you understand why what you said was...
Matthew.
Do you understand why what you said was wrong?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
you do. Okay,
but
well, let's...
do you?
I just felt really creepy because they kept doing these sprints past me, and I'm just a strange, creepy guy in a suit watching these girls run around.
Were they hot?
It felt very awkward. Yeah, all of them were.
Ah,
yeah,
very good.
That's
they were
the
hot.
Problem.
Do you feel creepy there? I mean, because of its hauntedness?
Yeah, it's very ominous. I feel like a drug dealer holding down my turf.
No, we're talking about you've seen The Exorcist, right?
I have.
It's a rite of passage, really, when you go to school here in Washington, D.C. It used to be that you would go to the bottom of those stairs and you would walk up the stairs, and it is really... Have you seen them, Beth Ann?
No, I've only seen them on the film.
You know, I've still never
creepy.
Seen
creepy.
The movie.
It is totally... It's still creepy to
I've
this day.
I've still never seen the movie.
And
You've never seen it?
What?
You know, in doing the research for this today, I think I'm going to have to watch it, but it flipped my parents out so bad.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You've never seen
I've
The
never
Exorcist?
Seen it. I've read about it. I know quite a bit about it, but I've never watched
it. You've seen everything else.
It's the greatest horror movie I think ever made.
I don't think it's as good as Bride of Frankenstein.
I saw it with
Jesus. Okay, Weeb Eubank. That's good. All right, well, Matt, do you have anything else to add? We're going to play your little...
Where in the world is Matt Hussein?
It's been a real slice of heaven having you on the show.
Yeah, me too.
Would you like
Don't
to talk up?
Out.
Would you like to talk up your jingle?
No, I think I'll do just fine without it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a nice big round of applause for Mr. Matt the Stain. And last words from you, Matt?
Goldstein out.
No, not fair. Not fair. Play the game with me. Tell me what you think of those Georgetown girls. Any ones that were
all lovely.
There we go.
You know, it's just a shame that we can't do it all week like we wanted to.
He is so competitive.
Aren't you glad
That's what I hate about him. He's totally Mr. Competitive, and I don't know why I like that kid. I do. I swear to God.
It shows.
Maybe it's the smell.
Next time we play a game with him, can we do something that might involve hurting him in some way a little
pain.
Bit more?
Yeah,
pain.
Okay.
Pain for him. That'll be a lot of fun. Okay. Thanks to Matt, and congratulations to Aaron. Aaron wins the $100, and we will be back with the final buzz of the afternoon on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.